Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, it's been good already. You go home now and say, man, I was glad I went to church today. Hallelujah. Well, let's open to Psalms 119. I want to do this as soon as... We'll start here, and then I got a couple other things I want to do. If you want to open to Psalms 119, I think we're gonna wrap up our series on entitled "The Path of Light" today, which I'm excited for what the Lord's given us. Do you know the Scripture says in John chapter 15 that without God we can do nothing? Not like you can do a few things. Well, I could probably do some things on my own. Actually, without him, you can do nothing. That's what he said. And people think, well, but I see people doing stuff all the time. Yeah, but they're not really doing it without him. They're just doing something. But with God, we can do all things, and all things are possible. And they can be done in such a way that nobody else, just in their natural, could do it that way. This is something that the church really needs to get a hold of, because as Christians, we shouldn't look at obstacles and things that are going on and go, how are we going to deal with this? Well, with God, all things are possible. And with his wisdom available, there's no situation that is confusing to him. It doesn't exist. God knows everything on a molecular level, so he created you. And the one who created you knows how everything works because he put all the parts together. So the one who created you can also fix you. Right? I mean, a master mechanic, if you take a master mechanic in the area of vehicles and things like that, and they're a master in their area, they know how vehicles work from the very ground up. You know how I know how a vehicle works? I put my key in it, I turn it, and it turns on. If it doesn't turn on, I'm in trouble. Why? Because I don't know anything beyond that. I've just never educated myself that way, but a master mechanic can go, huh, judging by that sound, and then they can follow the clues and find the answer, the solution. Well, God doesn't even need to guess, you know what I mean? He's not like, well, I need to break it down. He can go right to the center of where you are and go, this is the problem right here, and just tweak it. I'm not talking about like on a level of, well, I just need to have my life a little bit better. I'm talking like God knows what causes diabetes. And he knows how to get inside your very cell structure and tweak it so that it goes back to right. Does that make sense? Okay? And so people say, well, why doesn't he just do it? God's actually already done it. We need to cooperate with him and bring the manifestation to here. And which, let me say this, it's not as hard as you think. Okay? So what happens is, and this is what we're looking at right here. Let me do this. I get into the preach and I forget about everything else. Okay, so don't forget about your Bible reading. This is announcements. Everybody's like, oh. The other thing is tonight there's a worship night at the Depot, which is downtown. Last night we had a barbecue with some of the people that are putting it on, and then Sean Foyt himself, who's kind of, I guess he's the guest minister, I guess you'd call him, worshiper, I don't know. He's the guy that's coming in and why we're putting it on, okay? He shared some testimonies, really powerful. We had a good time of prayer and worship with the group, and so I'd encourage you to be there if you can. This is not a pressure deal. It's non-denominational. Nobody's necessarily, it's not one church putting it on. There are multiple churches that are going to be there, and it's free, you know. They're going to take up a love offering for Sean Foyt and his family. But it was powerful. And I don't normally partake in everything that goes on, but I really felt like the Lord wanted me to do this. You know, and we've really, Heidi went with me last night, and so did some of the other leaders. But Heidi, we were talking about it afterwards. We just feel like this was the Lord for us. You know what I mean? And so if you want to be a part of this tonight at 5:30, if you want, you know, more information about it, on our website, there's information there. So if you went to faithfamilybillings.com, there's information there. All right, let's go to Psalms 119. I know you're probably already there, but I'm going to get there. We got our birds praising the Lord this morning. As you can tell, we didn't kill them yet. Gary, I'm going to give you half these. I know you're all situated, sorry. And Mike, if everybody would take one of these. This is just something I felt like the Lord, I'm not going over this today, but it's something I felt like the Lord wanted me to give to you. And what it basically is just guidelines to interpreting doctrine or understanding doctrine. Doctrine is just a fancy word for what we believe. Okay, it's what we believe about God. And so these are some guidelines that you can follow that will help you not get off, you know. The scripture says in Timothy that we're to be sound in doctrine. You know, there's a lot of people that are like, well, we just need the Holy Spirit, that's all. You're going to be as flaky as they come if that's all you got. You need a foundation underneath you. And Jesus didn't say that the Holy Spirit was the foundation. Jesus said the Word of God was the foundation. Amen? And they all agree. They all get along. It's not like they're fighting with each other. You know, and but what happens is through the years, there'll be different emphasis on different things. Like if the church starts slacking in the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, then the Lord will cause a reviving of that in the church. But what happens is people get on revivals and they never want to leave. And the Lord's moved on to something else, trying to continue to keep balance in the church, and people just stay back where they were. No, we just like this move. Yeah, but God's fresh. He's new. He gave manna to the Israelites every day. You know what I mean? It wasn't just, oh, but I want it to come this way. The Lord is a lot of different ways and a lot of different aspects that He could move, and we don't want to miss that. So we need to be balanced in our approach and balanced in our understanding of the Word and what God's doing at that time. So that's why I want to give you this, is so that as God moves more and more in these last days, and as Faith Family Church is a part of it, we are not going to be moved by what we see, the good and the bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, we will have our foundation on the Word of God, okay? If all you have is teaching of the Word and you're just coming and logging information, you get dry quick. If all you have is the move of the Holy Spirit, you get flaky quick. You say the Holy Spirit's flaky. No, no, humans are. God's never off. We're the ones that get off. Does that make sense? So we need to have a balance of both, you know? And not just have one or the other, okay? So you say, why do you say that? Well, let me say it like this. Don't just find one minister that you really like and only listen to them. I really like Benny Hinn services. Good. Benny Hinn's called to that. He's a man of God, anointed to do what he's supposed to do. But you know, you need teaching too, not just watching people be healed over and over and over. Well, say oh me if you can't say amen. Because I'm not going to back off. I'm just going to keep going into it. You need everything. You say, well, it's more fun to feel God. Yeah, but you don't live by feeling. You live by faith. Of course I want to feel God. Of course. But if I live by my feelings, man, I wouldn't have got out of bed this morning when the alarm went off. Yeah. But we live by faith. You know? God must look at me in the morning and go, he needs coffee. I get up, you know? And then by the time I'm done praying and reading, I'm happy. I'm good to go. You know why? Because my feelings changed. But they changed because I operated in faith, not because I operated how I felt. Amen? So, anyway, Psalms 119, verse 105. This is our main scripture. All the other stuff was just free. It says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if you're walking in darkness, what do we know? You're not following the Word. Because if you're following the Word, you're walking in light. If you're walking in the Word, you're walking in light. There's an illumination that takes place in your life that can't be there any other way. No psychologist can give it to you. No doctor can give it to you. We're not against doctors or psychologists. That's not the issue. They just can't give it to you unless they're giving you what? The Word of God. Because the Bible says that the Word of God is what? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So I'll put it to you like this. If there's an area of your life where you feel confused, you may need to go back to the Word. Why? Because when the light is on, I can see this room clearly. I know where the chairs are at. I know where the heat vents are at. I know where the back doors are at. I know where the bird's at. I know where the TVs are at. Why? Because the light's on. I know where stuff is. Well, when we get into the Word of God and act on the Word of God, what happens in our lives? We start understanding where things are at. And our life is less confusing. Confusion essentially is darkness. And our life becomes more clear so we can walk the path of light. We're not stuck in places of darkness. Now, don't let the enemy condemn you, okay? You say, well, I've had these problems in all these areas for so long. Okay, get the light. The enemy loves to get people into trouble and then keep them there. And the enemy hates when the truth is preached because it sets people free. You know, your life could be so bad, and yet within a year, it could be so good, it was like a bad dream that happened to somebody else. I can testify. My life is nowhere near what it used to be. Now, some changes had to be made. I had to do a lot of repenting. You say, what does that mean? That means I didn't go to God and go, Lord, do it my way. I went to God and said, you're God, I'm doing it your way. And even when I didn't understand it, I still did it His way. Now, I'm not saying I've done that perfect, because nobody has. Only Jesus did it perfect, amen? And thank God for it. We need it. but continually, as I've followed the Lord and served the Lord and been faithful to Him and obeyed more and more of the Word, my life just keeps getting better and better and better and better. You say, you don't have problems. We do, but our Lord is greater than the problems. And as we obey His Word, it allows His hand and His ability and His angels access into our life to be able to change circumstances that the enemy meant for evil and turn them for good. Amen. Hallelujah. So God's good like that. Psalm 119 verse 130 says this. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now the question is, who are the simple? And the answer is everybody in this room and everybody on the planet. Because you say, why is that? No, I know people with massive degrees. Yeah, but compared to God, what are degrees? Do you realize that the people that are so genius that the world worships because of their intellect, God gave them that intellect? And they've used it a lot of times for demonic things? You realize that if they stood before God and it was a game of Jeopardy, how many seen the Far Side joke? Alex Trebek standing there, he's doing Jeopardy, and it says Steve, Bob, and God. And God's got like $2 billion, and Steve and Bob got nothing. There's truth in the Far Side, okay? Nobody is confusing God. You know, people say, well, if God's real, He can prove Himself to me. You know, He's laughing about that. He's laughing about it. Why? You think He needs to prove Himself? They're going to be before Him. Now, this is why we preach and share, because Paul said this, understanding the wrath of God, we warn men. Not understanding the grace of God, understanding the wrath of God. That's in the New Testament. Understanding the wrath of God. You realize this, if God extends grace to you and you reject it, God didn't reject you, you rejected Him. Amen. Because you say, why do you say that? Because there's this idea in the earth that God's just going to accept and save everybody. Where did you get that out of the Bible? Well, I didn't. I added other things to it. Well, then you walked away from God and into other things. Well, how could a God who's so loving send people to hell? Let me ask you a question. How could people who experience a loving God reject Him? I mean, we can play questions all day long. You know what I mean? But the answer is found in the Scripture, and the answer is found in an honest, repentant heart to God. The answer is found in you yielding yourself to who God is and what He said, and then walking in the light of what He said and continuing to do it patiently. That's not always so much fun for your flesh, but your flesh learns to settle down and shut up. It's just the nature of the flesh desires to be in charge. Why? Because it's not redeemed. So all you have to do is just keep it under control until it dies. Not you, it. You live forever because you're born again. Amen? All right, so there's two thoughts I want to give to you this morning. The first is search the Word of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Two thoughts this morning. And then we'll be done. The first is, if you want to write it down, search the Word of God. Acts chapter 17. God gives us the Word and gives us a written record of everything so that we can look through it and imitate what good people did and stay away from what evil people did. There's a record of both. You know that? Okay? And so that's why he did that. You know, if you see where the children of Israel rebelled against God and they got judged, you go, I don't want to do that. If you see where the children of God obeyed God and they were blessed and God took care of them, you say, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to obey that, you know? So it's pretty simple, I know, but sometimes we try and confuse it. Acts chapter 17, and I'm going to start reading in... Let's go to... I'm going to start in verse 1. It says this, Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and that place, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the what? The Scriptures. Explaining and demonstrating, which is a great word there too, both. So he's teaching and showing. Do you see that? It's show and tell. It's both. Okay? Explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead and saying, This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. What does that mean? That means he got politicians saved. The leading people. You say, can that happen today? Yeah, it can happen. It's happening. Just a little side note, at the meeting last night, the gentleman was sharing about how they've had worship in Washington, D.C. for how long now? I don't know, 40 days or something like that? Anyway, they've done it. They got all these permits and everything in Washington, D.C. to do worship for like 24-hour sets for I don't know how many days in a row, but they're getting ready to do how many days in a row? 400 days in a row. And so, listen to me. While you watch the news, you watch what's going on the main news media and all those type of things, and if you don't search for what God's doing, you're going to think the world's just going under. Listen to me, it is not. We are going to see a move of God that has never touched the planet before. It hasn't. Why? Because think about it. Even just sometime, go look at the maps in the back of your Bible and look where Paul preached. And then look what the gospel is doing today. I mean, he had a boat. There are ministries with jets that are flying all over the world preaching the gospel. There's a ministry in South Korea. They make hot air balloons, put Bibles in them, and float them over to North Korea. Why? Because you go to North Korea, they're going to kill you. And they just drop the Bibles off. This has got to drive the communists nuts. You know what I mean? Those Christians, man. We're committed. Amen? There are how many people a day in China, did he say? 30,000 a day being born again? But if you watch the news, you wouldn't know that. But it's happening. Why? You think you're going to put a hand on God and stop him? He's laughing. He's literally laughing. You know how many people, my wife, we get a magazine called The Voice of the Martyrs. Why? Because it's a good magazine. It'll keep your perspective right. You should see what these people are giving up for the gospel. They're not just giving up a TV show. They're getting kicked out of their families and living on the streets and preaching the gospel every day, even though their lives are in danger every day. And you know, they make statements like, well, as long as the Lord wants me to live, I guess I'll keep preaching. Woo! That's awesome. That's impressive to me. You know, that's like, yeah, we can set up and tear down one more week. They got to put up with that? Glory to God. Thank God for our freedoms. Amen? But anyway, there are people being saved all over the planet every day. It's happening. And God, the same God that's moving there is moving here. The same God that's moving and protecting those people is moving and protecting your family. The same God. And so as we look into His Word and understand His Word, it brings light to us. We cooperate with Him. We get in sync with His move and His Spirit. Then the church begins and continues to just increase and grow and continues to conquer the ground that we're on. Amen? And so even though it looks like sometimes things are going bad, get a hold of yourself, start searching, study, look, find out how many people are being changed by the power of God, because it's all over the world and it's going on right now. There is somebody right now on the backside of a mountain preaching to some jungle tribe that they didn't even know the language, trying to get the Bible translated into their language. Amen? It's going on right now. And what the enemy has meant for evil will all be turned. Amen? And soon and very soon, Jesus will come back and we'll just be ruling and reigning with Him. There'll be no more conflict. Do you think anybody's going to rise up against Jesus? People say, well, He was the lamb that was slain. But the Bible says He's the lion that's returning. And He ain't toothless. Amen. He's coming back with 10,000s upon thousands upon thousands. And it's going to be fun to be a part of that group. I'm looking forward to it. Superman. You know what I mean? There He is. I'm going to have a cape on that day. Hey guys, wearing that cape. Yeah, Jesus coming back, man. Just want you to know who it is in the air. I told you so. All right, so there was a multitude of people that were born again, and we're believing for those people too in our world today. Amen. The gospel can go through anything. It's not bound by laws and all that stuff. And we won't be bound by fear. Amen. But it says this, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob. Do you see what they did? Isn't this interesting? Study sometime, look into some of the riots that have taken place recently. You know there are people that are paying for other people to go to that place? They're not even from there, just to start riots. Nothing new under the sun, is there? Same devil, different year. It's exactly what they're doing right here. Nothing new. Nothing new. I find it interesting. And it says this, they took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Jason had harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. In other words, they paid out. Okay, that's what security is. They gave him money. They let him go. They paid their bail. All right. Verse number 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue, and this is where we want to be right now, of the Jews. These were what? More fair-minded or noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with what? All readiness. And the next part of it, and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, and prominent women as well as men. Here we see it again. The word of God is given to a group of people, and what did they do? They received it with openness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul was saying were so. Isn't that interesting? Why record this in the Bible? Why make this a part of all time? Why are we reading this thousands and thousands of years later from this event? Because God wanted us to remember this. So these were noble Bereans, okay? So let me read a commentary here on this. It says this, Paul went into the synagogue and there discovered a group of people keenly interested in the study of the Old Testament scriptures. In fact, they met daily to search the scriptures to determine whether or not what Paul was saying was true. Paul had been overjoyed at the people in Thessalonica who had received the word of God. And you can look at that at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. That's where that, if you just want to look that up later. So these noble Bereans must have really encouraged his heart. All of us should imitate these Bereans by faithfully studying God's word daily, discussing it and testing the message that we hear. Now, let me say this to you, and that's why I gave you the guidelines that I did. The number one guideline to Scripture is this, is that Scripture, first of all, is the voice of God to you primarily. Okay? It is number one. Now, after that, there's the witness of the Holy Spirit. And after that, there's the witness of your own spirit. Okay? Now, don't be confused by that. Look at the scriptures that I gave you on that sheet of paper, and you'll see that it's spelled out there in scripture. Okay? But number one, and let me say it like this, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Okay? It is the safest commentary. If you read through the scriptures, especially in the Amplified is a great translation for this, it will reference the New Testament scripture back to the Old Testament one. In other words, where they were bringing this truth from. Okay? And that's what we need to do. We need to be what? Those who search the scriptures daily. And people say, well, that takes work. Well, it sure beats walking in the darkness. It sure beats being frustrated all the time. It sure beats having constant problems with your kids that you can't figure out the answer to. Amen. It sure beats dysfunction in a house between a husband and wife. Amen. And obviously there are different things that play in there as far as a husband and wife are concerned. But listen, when you get in the light of the Word of God and you have two people that want to work together and move forward and God is their God, and there's not a push on the husband to the wife going, listen, I need you to do this for me, and the husband to the, and the wife to the husband going, I need you to do this, but you're both looking to the Lord and serving Him, then everything else levels itself out. Do you know that your spouse is not your source? If you haven't figured it out by now, let me help you. They ain't. They are not. They're not. People say, I love you. I can't live without you. You don't understand what love is. What you're saying is, you do a lot of things for me, and I like that. Love lays down its life for the other person. Amen? So, what, you say, why are you bringing that up? I don't know, other than the Holy Ghost, okay? Now, you say, well, don't talk about that. People will know it's me. Not if you just sit there and smile and nod. Nobody knows it's you. Just agree and go on. You know what I mean? I could be talking about me for all you know. I've been married for a few years. I think we're working on 17. I know that for a fact. And it hasn't always been easy. Are you kidding? The scripture says that those who are married will have trouble because of what? The flesh. That's where all trouble in marriage comes from, the flesh. Why? Because your flesh has a desire to go directions that it shouldn't. And if Jesus is your Lord, you grab your flesh and crucify it daily like the Lord told you to. And when you function out of your spirit and not out of your flesh, there's peace. You say, why do you say that? I want light in your life. I want light in your life. I want rest and peace. No high blood pressure. People say, I got to do yoga. No, you need the Holy Ghost. Yoga, yogi, whatever. He ain't got nothing on God. You can stretch and twist all day long, but unless your spirit's at peace, you know what I mean? I don't want to be completely empty. Clear your mind. I want God all over my mind. You know what I mean? So these men, they were noble. Noble essentially means this: better in disposition, better in education, and more polished. What do you mean by that? These people apparently had been raised in such a way where they didn't just disagree and flip out. They heard the information, took it in, looked at it, studied it, and then made a decision. Does that make sense? That's what kind of person God is looking for you to be. Now, the Bible says that we're to be innocent concerning evil, okay? So God's not saying, go study everything that everybody puts out there. He's saying, look to my word, consider what's being said, take it in, look at it, don't just accept it because you have a lot of zeal and you're excitable. Study it and look at it. Make sure it's there. I don't care who preaches it. I don't care if they're on TV or not. I don't care if it's me. You better check it from the Word of God. And anybody that tells you different, you need to quit listening to them. Amen. Anybody that says they know more, that they're an authority over the Bible, they're wrong. They're wrong. Don't listen to them. Follow the Word. Any preacher, any minister, I don't care who it is, if they make statements that are contrary to the Bible and they tell you, well, I'm right, I'm the preacher, I've got a doctorate. So? A doctorate compared to God? Because His Word's right, amen? So you need to go back to that study, look at it, find out. And what happens is, we know this from Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing. So what you're doing while you're studying and while you're looking at the Scriptures and while you're studying these things out and enjoying the good Word of God is you are having faith being put into you. And not just any faith, but the faith of God Himself. Amen. I want His faith in me. Amen. I want His thoughts in my mind and His faith in my heart. Amen. And that comes through that Word from the Lord. So they had a ready mind. That means they were eager. They were eager to hear the Word of God. They searched the Scriptures daily. I love the fact that this is recorded in the Bible. It shows the tremendous security of God. The Word of God has withstood criticism from the time that it was spoken to the time that it was recorded on paper, and it continues to hold its own ground today. Nobody has been able to disprove it. They've tried and tried and tried and tried. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Search the Scriptures. They're never going to pass away. They'll never become decrepit and old. There's no such thing in the Bible that is not, what's the word I'm looking for? Even though our technology changes and people's way of doing things changes in the sense of, you know, we have better buildings today than we did then. They didn't have TVs back then. But none of that, the Word of God is ageless. It's ageless. But you'll notice that men as a tendency, even though technology and things like that have changed, men as a tendency repeat the same sins. They repeat the same problems. We have the same issues. It's all the same. It's all the same. Nothing has changed. And it will continue to remain the same until all yield, if all were going to yield to the Lord, they're not going to, but until the Lord returns. And then we'll have absolute peace. Why? Because He'll be ruling as Lord. He'll be ruling as a theocracy, not a democracy. There'll be no voting Him out. But man, a ruler who laid down His life for you? Oh, I'll take that any day. Yeah, I'll take that any day. Because the rulers that we have today, they're making sure that you lay down your life for them. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what's happening. You say, all of them? Well, no, not probably all of them. But listen, I don't care how good the human is, they're still not Jesus. Right? So that's what we're looking for, is the Lord coming and returning. So we want to make sure that we're those that are noble, that God's Word can handle the criticism. It can handle the scrutiny that you put to it in studying it. Luke 16:17 says this, "The sky will disintegrate and the earth dissolve before a single letter of God's law wears out." That's the Message. Lastly, we'll notice this. One, they received it with eagerness. Secondly, they searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. And then last, what do we see? We see many people believe, from the common to the prominent. We see a principle here that if you get into the Word of God and search it thoroughly, that it will increase your faith. And then all you have to do is act on it. You know, sometimes people are believing for healing. Let me give you a little bit of a nugget here in this area. If you need healing in your body, go to healing Scriptures and look at them and look at them and read them and declare them. And people go, well, it hasn't happened yet. Go back to the Scriptures and look at them and look at them and read them. I'll give you an illustration that was given to me when I was in Bible school. We had a dean of the school at that time. His name was Gary Crowell. And He shared one day how the first time he heard the message on divine healing, you say, what does that mean? That means that God healed you, okay? It wasn't by medicine, it wasn't by, we're not against medicine or anything like that, so don't get under condemnation. But it was, the Lord is operating at such a level because you're cooperating with him. His spirit is operating in your body at such a level that it changes the structure of your body. It fixes what was broken. How many know Jesus did that all the time, okay? So, he said this, he said when he first heard the message about divine healing and health, he got as sick as much as he ever did the first year that he heard about it. It was the same. But he still believed that word. Spiritual growth is a lot like natural growth. You don't do it overnight. You have to stick with it. And stick with it. And stick with it. Yeah, but it hurts. I know. Use medicine to help you now and stay on the word. Amen. You'd be saying, why do you say that? Listen, Brother Hagin, he was the head of the school we were at. He bought people's medication for them if they didn't have money for it. Why? Because he was against the Bible? No, because it helped them in that moment until their faith grew to the point that they could overcome that challenge that the enemy had brought to them. What happens so often is people get frustrated because God didn't, quote unquote, do what he said he was going to do right away. No. We just quit. Don't quit. Keep going. Amen? So anyway, he said he got sick as much as he did the year before. The second year, he got sick a little less. The third year, he got sick a little less. See, what the issue was is he had something wrong with his blood. And every flu, every cold that came down the pike, he'd get it. This is what he shared with us. The third year, he got sick way less. The fourth year, he didn't get sick at all, and that was 20 years from that time until him teaching us in that day. Isn't that amazing? Why is that? Well, I'll tell you this. He spent about 3 hours a day in the Word and in prayer. Yeah, and we think that our little devotion card that we pull out of the little box is going to do it, right? Because that's what Jesus did, right? Jesus was like, somebody get a devotion card. We need to preach to these people. The word of the Lord today is. No, man. That's not Christianity. That's a nice way to help, I guess. You need to know your master. The Bible says that Jesus would go to the mountain by himself and fellowship with his Father. Sometimes all night long. People say, I got to go to work in the morning, then go to bed at night. But spend significant time with your Lord somewhere. Amen? As you do that, your life will get better and better. Now, let me go back to the healing issue. Don't just give up on it. And don't just count me out. Go back to the scripture and see what it says. If you can prove to me from the scripture that it's not for today and that it's not God, then I'll gladly change. I'm not concerned about it. Amen? You say, you're arrogant about it. No, I've studied it for years. Not only have I studied it, I've experienced it. Amen? So there is a way that the Lord can get to us and change our lives if we cooperate with him. Amen? All we have to do is just get in that word and stay there. You say, that's challenging. Yeah, but I'd rather have you grow than just stay where you're at. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'd rather be able to stand up and calm the storm like the Lord expects rather than have to wake up the Lord. Amen? So don't quit, don't stop, don't backpedal away. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Press in and keep going. Don't be afraid. Just keep going. Amen? Don't let fear hold you back. Because we want to see you succeed. Amen? All right. So, again, Romans 10:17, consequently, it says this in the NIV, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. My last point this morning is this. Stay away from the traditions of men. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Mark is to the left of Acts. Mark chapter 7. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. It says this, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the what? Tradition of the elders. When they come to the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. They observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. They just like to wash, 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 wash. There's washers. They brought their little wash rags with them, and they washed everything, all right? You can't eat. Why? I didn't wash that cup yet. You know, wash your hands and wash your mouth. They were washers. Verse 5, so the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to what? The tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands. Can you just hear him? He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. How would you like that? How'd you like you coming to church and you ask me a question? And I'd say, Isaiah was right about you hypocrites. Jesus just got it done, didn't he? He didn't play around. All right. So he said, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but the what? Rules taught by men. Verse 8, you have let go of the commandments of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And then he just goes into one here. But he says, honor your father and mother. Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Boy, that's a strict law, isn't it? But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban. In other words, it is a gift devoted to God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. Isn't that interesting? So point one under this first is following the traditions of men will make your worship vain. The word vain, and that's found in verse 7, the word vain means this. It means unsuccessful, or it means to no purpose. If our worship and lifestyle of God, now don't just think of worship as when we're singing and lifting hands. Worship is something that you do every day by presenting your body to God. Romans chapter 12, amen? That's where that's at, if you want to look it up. It's the idea of you are giving yourself wholly to God. If what we do is a tradition of men and not a word of God, then our worship is what? To no purpose. It's vain. It's unsuccessful. Well, I don't want to do that. Do you? Do you want the end of your life? The Lord looks at you and goes, man, you were devout, but you were devout to a whole bunch of traditions, not to the Word of God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live that way. So that's what this point is about. Basically, as we move forward in teaching and what we're going to teach on and the different subjects we're going to look at, you have to look at it and go, okay, what do I believe? And why do I believe what I believe? Why do I believe that that is that way? And go back to the Word of God and look at it and go, okay, was this a tradition that my mom gave me or my dad gave me or that the denomination that I was associated with gave me? Or is this actually the Word of God? Because there only be one place that will give you success, and there's only one place that God will honor, and that's what He said. Let me say it like this. God's not mean. He's just right. Okay? It's a good thought, right? All right? He's not like, God knows it all, but He's not a know-it-all. He's the perfect balance of all knowledge and all-consuming love. So when He says something, He's not doing it to prove that He knows more than you. He knows He knows more than you. The issue is we think we know more than Him sometimes. And our traditions that we have can be so ingrained in us, and we don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. You know, there are people that are feeling bad about sins they committed 20 years ago. Why? It's under the blood. But yet, you have an idea in your mind that God's condemning you, and He's not. He's already forgotten it. You should forget it. And that's not always easy. So I won't try and pretend that it is. That can be difficult. But yet, by the grace of God, all things are possible. Amen? By the grace of God, you can. You can just walk away from it. When the devil brings it up, you can go, yeah, that's a picture of something that used to be happened. But you know, the blood of Jesus has washed me clean. So I'm not going to live upset about that all day and punish everybody I run into. Why is that person mad? They sinned 30 years ago. They're crabby. You know what I mean? Well, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That'll help you sleep better at night. You say, people go, well, it's a miracle. If God was upset, he'd know how to show you. You're still breathing, right? Still got heartbeats going on? Like the other day, Ian was laying on his mom, and he goes, Mom, your heart's beeping. Beeping. It's beeping. And then he goes, listen to mine, Mom. So she did. And Heidi goes, yeah, it's beeping, you know. He goes, good, I just wanted to make sure. It's amazing how kids think. Like, if you can't hear it, it's not happening, you know. Listen, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you, even if you don't feel it. All you have to do is look at the book and listen. Amen? So don't feel bad about that stuff. It's gone. What are you going to do about it? Paul said what? Forgetting those things that are behind, I press on. Why do we have to press on to Christ? Because it's easy for the past to hold you back. So you've got to press and purpose to submit to God and resist the devil. Amen? And so these men that were here honored their traditions above God. Huh, it's just a bad idea. They honored their traditions above the Word of God. Okay? So we don't want our relationship to be of no purpose. Secondly, this. We must not set aside the commands of God for our traditions. You may be thinking this is a little repetitive, but there is a purpose behind all of this, and that is when we begin to search the Scriptures on different subjects, we are going to find out that we believe some things about God that are not true, and we need to be able to submit to the Bible, or we will end up making the Word of God of no effect in our lives. We do not want the Word of God of no effect in our lives. It must have effect and purpose. Amen? Thirdly, when we follow the traditions of men and ignore the Bible, it makes the Word of God of none effect in our lives. The word, the statement make of none effect is literally to render void, deprive of force and authority. So when we ignore the Bible and follow something else, what does that mean? That means we are depriving all the power of God in our lives. How much power does God have? He's holding the universe together by the power of His Word. What do you mean? That means He's not in heaven going, we got to hold it together, guys. Somebody get an angel over there. That galaxy is slipping. Nope. He went, life. And that word went all the way through it, boom, and holds it. It ain't going nowhere. It's going nowhere until God says, I'm coming back. It'll just stay put. His word is that strong. So how strong would it be in your life? Right? Somebody say, let faith arise. Let faith arise. How hard is your situation? How difficult is it? In essence, what we are doing in following men's traditions rather than the Word of God is we are shutting off God's ability to work in our lives. How many people want to shut off God's ability in their lives? Nobody. John Kilpatrick said this. He said, oftentimes believers pray ineffectively and live in continual discouraging frustration because they have believed the commandments of men rather than the doctrines of God. Many of the commandments represented in our churches as doctrines virtually require Christians to disallow or recast the Word of God. It seems that everything that has anything to do with a supernatural God who does supernatural works in our day is systematically purged to conform to the tidy commandments of men. The truth is that the God of revival cares nothing for the commandments of men, though He dearly loves every man. He longs to see His river flow through the hearts of all who call on the name of His Son. This cannot happen as long as many Christians confuse doctrinal belief with genuine experience. There is a huge difference. Just because you have been raised in church tradition does not mean that you have experienced the presence and power of God. Many who have heard about it and believe in it have never experienced it. They've never experienced it. Why? Because they hold to a picture of God that is a tradition of men, not birth from the Word of God and the commandments of God. God is twofold. Paul said what? I did not come to you. He said this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I didn't come to you in excellency of speech, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. In other words, it's not just how flowery the message is there power in it? There are a lot of great orators. They can come together and speak. There's a whole group called Toastmasters, and that's what they do. They get together and see how well they can speak and then grade each other. That is not what God is looking for. He's not looking for just the right, perfect adjective at every point. He's interested in His words being presented by His Spirit so that there is a change of heart and a change of life. And that only happens by getting away from the traditions of men and resting our entire lives on the commandments of God. Because that's what gives Him access to our lives. Now, the challenge in all of it is this: will you allow it to happen? Do you know, as Christians, Jesus was passing through Samaria and He was headed to Jerusalem. And the Samaritans said, "We don't want Him here," because they hated the Jews. Because Samaritans were half-breed Jews. Say, what do you mean by that? They were half-breed. They were breeded with another breed, and you got Samaritans. They weren't full-blooded Jews, okay? Well, Jesus had done a lot of works and mighty miracles there, okay? And so there was a lot of prejudice in that day. A lot of prejudice. Nothing's changed. It's all the same, okay? But the reality is what? We all bleed red, right? It doesn't matter what color you are, we all bleed red. And if your blood type's the same as mine, you can help me. It doesn't matter what your skin tone is. You know, hating somebody because of their skin color is like hating somebody because of their hair color. It makes no sense. Or eye color. Well, you don't have blue eyes. We can't hang out. What? Like I picked my eye color. Anyway, okay, so get off that. They didn't want Jesus to come through because He was going to the Jews, and they were upset about it. So what did John and was it Peter and John? Who are the sons of thunder? Yeah, the sons of thunder. Anyway, who was it? James and John. Okay, they were called the sons of thunder. That means they were like, they had a temper. Okay. They said, "Lord, we'll call fire down from heaven on them like Elijah did." And what did Jesus say to them? "You know not what spirit you're of." You say, what are you saying? And then He goes into this whole detail on what? He goes into a detail on that we don't rule over people like the sons of men do. In other words, we don't dominate over people. What are you saying? I'm saying this: as ministers of the gospel, as a pastor, I can't go to your house and make you do what you're supposed to do, and I'm not going to. There has to come this point in your life where you step back and go, "Okay, God, I've done it my way long enough. Show me what you want me to do." There has to come a point in your life where you're going to go, "Yeah, that preacher keeps talking about the importance of reading my Bible every day," that you go, "I'm going to read my Bible every day this week." Do you see what I'm saying? I cannot rule over you. All I can do is present the message. You have to decide to do it. And honestly, I'm not going to try and keep up with you on Facebook or anywhere else. I may pass by and see something, that's about it. You understand what I'm saying? It is not my job to hunt you down and make sure you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. I can give you the information. I can shepherd, so to speak, under-shepherd the flock. I can bring the truth to you by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Whether you do it or not is up to you. And I will not be held responsible if you do it or not. You will be. Amen. You see that? Pastors spend all this time trying to manipulate people. Why? Jesus didn't. He looked at the rich young ruler and He said, "Sell everything you have and come follow me." And the rich young ruler went away sad. And Jesus said, wait. No, sell half. Will you come for half? No, He didn't, did He? Jesus just turned and walked the other direction. People think, is that love? It is absolutely love. Because that man was given an opportunity to follow the Lord and be a part of His team, and he chose not to. It said nothing about Jesus and everything about that man's heart. Don't let the enemy twist it. Amen? Your heart in this relationship that you have is between you and your God. I am not your priest. Come on. I'll agree with you. I'll pray with you. I'll believe God with you. But I'm not absolving you of anything. You understand? You have a high priest. His name is Jesus. Okay? We say, I wasn't raised that way. Well, traditions of men versus the Bible. Amen. Okay? You have a God that you can go to, and He loves you. And His Word will work for you just like it works for me. Do you know, even though I'm anointed to preach, that the Word doesn't just work for me automatically? I have to believe it every day like you do. Do you know I have the same feelings you do every day? Yeah. I deal with the same stuff you do. I have crazy people in my life too. You know what I mean? I have bosses that are crazy too. And guess what? I get to believe God. I get to act on the Word of God. You know, people think we have halos or something, preachers. Like we have some special corner with God. No. The same blood that gives me access to the throne gave you access to the throne. The same blood that allows me in righteousness to talk to God every day has given you the exact same thing. You have it. Use it. Amen? And we're going to grow in the Lord. Amen? Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. We're done. Praise God. It's a good day. Did you learn something? All right. Take it and do it this week. Apply it. Apply it, apply it, apply it. And God will bless you. And then you can come next week and tell me the testimony of what happened. I've heard good testimonies today. Yesterday we're at the barbecue and Joel was sharing with me. I'd have you share it, but there's just not enough time. But he was sharing with me his son wasn't feeling good. And he shared with me, were you in the bathroom? Is that where it was? Yeah, you're in the bathroom. And he had prayed over his son, but he said, the Holy Spirit dealt with him. Have your son say what you're saying. And so you had him quote what? By his stripes, I'm healed. And it was within a short amount of time, he started eating. He fell asleep on your lap. And then he's here this morning, he's fine. Why? He did the Word. I didn't even pray for him. And I'm the preacher. You know what I mean? What does it matter? You can act on the Word too. Now, if you need help, we will help you. Don't get the idea I won't pray with you. I will. Be glad to. I love to slap the devil. It's my favorite thing to do. Amen? So if you need prayer, we'd be glad to. If you need prayer for healing, come up afterwards. We'll pray for you right now. But listen, if you need prayer for anything, we'll agree with you in that area in line with the Word of God. But listen, you can act on the Word of God. Do it. I'm telling you. You say, it's such a fight. I know the enemy doesn't want you to. Recognize that. It's not the resistance isn't coming from God. It's coming from the enemy. Hit him back. Don't yield to him. He loves to see you depressed. So smile all day long. Just hurt him, hurt him, hurt him. The devil will come to me and say, you messed up so bad. You know all those years you sinned. And I go, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, you did this. You did that. If I told you some of the things that I did, you'd be like, you can't preach. Listen, it's under the blood. I'm free. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray a blessing over your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, a benediction, a blessing in the name of Jesus. Father, we will not fear the enemy, but we will stand on your word and resist the enemy. We are so thankful for your good word to us. Lord, we purpose today not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the word. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We'll receive it and do it this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Don't forget tonight, we have that worship night if you want to come. We'd love to see you there. If not, we'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.